believe it is probably the case, Bishop John and Janet, you are both now suffering from farewell fatigue. Well, it serves you right. That's what happens when you decide to retire. I feel I need to make this tribute quite short, but that will not be easy. I'm not wanting to prolong this service, which is a thanksgiving to God for all that he gives each of us afresh each day, but also as offers a thanksgiving for both John and Janet and all that they have contributed to the family of the diocese over the past 11 years. About that, some things do need to be said. It needs also to be short to keep faith in the principle held by the late Mervyn Stockwood, who ordained at different times in the 1970s, myself, Bishop John, the Dean, a motley trio, there was one, who was alleged to have said, "I can just about tolerate the low church. I rather like high church, but I possibly dislike long church." There is danger of becoming slightly long church. Bishop John's Episcopal ministry began in 1991, when Bishop Eric appointed him as area bishop of Horsham. After 2 years, he then became the second bishop of the diocese in Europe, enthroned on the Feast of the Epiphany in the Cathedral of the Church of the Holy Trinity, Gibraltar, in 1994. The diocese, which covers the whole of Europe, except Britain and Ireland, together with Morocco, Turkey and Union, having chaplaincy stretching from Madeira to Ankara and from Casablanca to Helsinki. Just the kind of diverse experience you need in Bishop John before being translated to the See of Chichester, succeeding, of course, 26 years of faithful ministry with Bishop Eric Kent, who I know, John, is one of your heroes. So Bishop John inherited the See of Wilfrid, Richard, Lancelot Andrews, George Bell, Eric Kent, and other great bishops. However, from your first day until your last as Bishop of Chichester, you have been engaged in significant household issues, not least courageously putting in place part of the organisation across the diocese, and importantly, robust safeguarding policies. None of those bishops that I have just mentioned, Bishop John is no exception, was a perfect bishop. There is no perfect bishop, though all bishops aspire to have as their pattern Jesus Christ the Good Shepherd. There will never be a perfect bishop, though some may think there ought to be the perfect bishop, and some out there may feel that in fact you would be the Bishop John often reminds us the Church has never really known peaceful times within its life and witness. Certainly during the 21 years Bishop John has exercised episcopal ministry, there has been within the Church of England, for a variety of reasons, some turbulent times with their own set of problems. He, as our Father in God, has tried to see all sides and guide us through these distances. And it reminded me of what one Christian writer and theologian has said. We are becoming submerged in a superfluity of such partial problems. As such, they are becoming more and more confused. Each receives for itself a leaden weight, which makes its weight more than a united whole. Men and women rack their brains and at the same time threaten to beat each other's out over the structural problems of the Church, as if the Church were in any sense a structure in itself, and not rather in its essence, the transparent gift which God gives us of himself. As Bishop of Chichester, you, Bishop John, as our Father in God, have been passionate about fostering and encouraging the highest degree of unity amongst the Christian family which makes up our diocese. No easy task, the one to which you have been absolutely wedded, encouraging that highest degree of unity in divisive issues such as human sexuality, the ordination of women to the priesthood and episcopacy, the Anglican Covenant, where for theological reasons or reasons of conscience, brothers and sisters are divided. Yet you encourage us, whatever our views, to celebrate our unity in Jesus Christ, which truly binds us together. You have shown in your ministry to us over these 11 years as the 102nd Bishop of Chichester a loving generosity, not least amongst those whose views are different from your own, a fact not always recognised or a courtesy not always reciprocated. Unity is something about which you are indeed passionate. All your ordained life, you have worked tirelessly for the unity of Christ's Church, and that work rooted in prayer will not cease at your retirement. You have contributed to some of the most significant ecumenical agreements of the 20th century, notably the Porvoo Agreement between Anglicans and Lutherans in the Nordic and Baltic regions, and the Massine Agreement between the Church of England and the German Protestant Church. You remain chair of the Church of England Faith, and Order Commission. You are, I think, still Vice Moderator and Member of the Faith and Order Commission for the World Council of Churches, and you are a member of the Inter-Anglican Standing Commission on Ecumenical Relations. This significant work, this important part of your ministry, was rightly recognised when you were awarded that rare honour of a Land of Doctor of Divinity by Archbishop Rowan in 2010. Your involvement in all of this work has brought you into contact with some of the most distinguished leaders of other churches, one of whom we are absolutely delighted to have with us today, Archbishop Gregorius, the Archbishop of Aleppo, who has flown over from Syria especially to be with you today. I want us all, please, to pay a tribute to the Archbishop, as your presence here, your eminence, is not only a sign of the precious friendship which the Diocese of Chichester has with the Syriac Orthodox Church, but gives us all here the opportunity of assuring you of our prayers for our Christian brothers and sisters and for the whole people of Syria in these extremely dangerous times. You are most welcome. Had honoured seats for the Wednesday public audience. After which, on the Pope's walk about to join the public audience, the Holy Father, Pope Benedict, made his way immediately to Bishop Wallace. Bishop Wallace was the only one of our three bishops who was actually recognised as an Anglican bishop in his purple cassock. The Pope, however, then went on to Bishop John, and clearly there was there a great warmth of friendship. As for Bishop Lindsay, I think the Pope thought he was a young, rather overdressed seminarian. As a fruit of this work, we are delighted also to have with us today our dear friends, greatly valued and part of our life here in the Chichester Diocese, Bishop Dorothea of Beowulf and also Dean Aubert of Chartres. You two are also hugely welcome. We have in Bishop John. Bishop George Bell and Mary Kemp, a very distinguished yet humble ecumenist. Bishop John, you are a humble and shy man, and sometimes an extremely exasperated one. You are a scholar, yet one who is motivated each day not by all the trappings of episcopal office which may appear to surround bishops and their palaces. No, absolutely. Rather by Jesus Christ, celebrated and encountered in word and sacrament. Every day of the Eucharist in your chapel, you pray for the whole of the diocese. And I know that for you, this is a most important mark of your episcopal life. You are also a serious man, not taking yourself seriously, rather the work which has been entrusted to you by God. Bishop John is no snob. The great and the good for him are those men and women, ordained and lay, and those young people who faithfully, day to day, witness to Jesus Christ and his love. Now, many of us know it is not the Church of England that gets you, Bishop John, out of bed each morning. Rather, your ever-lively realisation that you are both a disciple of Jesus Christ and within that Christian discipleship, a priest. You remind us, Bishop John, that the Church is God's gift to us, and you often further remind us that there is no such thing as a successful Church. Success is not one of the names attributed to God. Love, yes. Success, no. From time to time, you take the opportunity also to remind us in Litis how day by day each of us born in the water of baptism should be faithful in that life, in that new birth, which we have received by faith as a gift from God. Being a baptized person, as well as being a priest, is central to your own Christian witness, and that to us in the diocese as our Father and God. In all your busyness as a bishop, you have never lost the pastoral heart, that pastoral mouse critical in the life of any priest. Many, including myself, have immeasurably valued your pastoral touch. Maintain vigilance in your pastoral responsibilities as diocese and bishop is not an easy task. For those of us who in recent months have been involved in the processes of consulting and discerning your successor, we have all been reminded of the immense, almost unrealistic expectations laid upon a diocesan bishop. Who on earth would want the job? A pastor, of course, one who is expected to have a national role, and in your case, because of the gifts you have been given, an international role. If you speak several languages, which you do, including Finnish as well as Turkish, and who four people at Eden sells you with your Gaelic, and as a theologian, which you are, what should you or we expect, other than the inevitability of an important international role in the life of the wider church, which you have had? Since 2008, you have been a member of the House of Lords, and indeed you were there until late on Wednesday evening, concluding your duties, including making a speech. In all these immense tasks, you have been quietly, uncomplainingly, though I think sometimes exhausted, yet always assiduous. Bishop John, last week your colleagues on the senior staff team, a great team, gave you and Janet a dinner in George Bell House. It was a lovely occasion for us all, and I mused afterwards on the train journey back to Brighton. Though very different times, how nevertheless you and George Bell shared various themes in your Episcopal ministries. Themes held with passion, liturgy, justice, pastoral care. And I am quite sure that history will say that the Diocese of Chichester, with its 102nd Bishop John Hunt, has had yet another, one who indeed has made a significant contribution, as George Bell did, to the Church of God, into which you were ordained and have served so faithfully. You could not have done all this without the loving support of Janet, a loving wife and a critical friend, with the patience of many saints. So in thanksgiving for Bishop John, we thank God for you, Janet, too. Your generosity for being alongside John in your own extremely demanding professional life, for sacrificing so much of your married and family life to John's ministry. So I end with some words from the theologian I quoted earlier, Hans von Balthasar, which I believe sums up the centrality of your ministry as a teaching priest and bishop. It comes from an essay entitled The Priest I Want. A good priest is always a miracle of grace. The miracle for which one is looking would indeed be nothing other than holiness. Holiness of a man who in God has become so unimportant to himself that for him only God still counts. Who he himself is no longer a matter of any concern for him. And in consequence, he is an ordinary and as nourishing as a loaf of bread from which everyone can break off a piece. The manner in which he distributes himself merges into the manner in which God's word distributes itself in bread and wine. Such a man knows too how one breaks and expands God's word. Bishop John, nothing else, we thank you for your teaching and for your huge ability as one who knows how to break and expand God's word, reminding all of us of our call to holiness, enabling us to see the Lord Jesus more clearly, wanting to love him more dearly, and each day afresh to follow him more nearly. So before I invite Archbishop Gregorius to say a few words, and then for Jeremy Kay and Angela Simpson to make a presentation to both you and Janet, may I now, on behalf of the whole Diocese of Chichester, thank you, Bishop John and Janet, and wish you a long, healthy, and fulfilled retirement. In love, we thank you for